Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 on this beautiful Friday morning here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. 3 more hours to go. First hour, fast moving. We're going to keep it moving. Let's head up to Chicago, Windy City. Let's bring in former Bears wide receiver Tom Waddle, who's with ESPN 1000. In Chicago, the Bears come to town on Sunday at Nissan Stadium to take on the Titans. We laugh, Tom. I don't know why we always feel like when we reference the Chicago Bears, we have to do that. But you just can't get it out of your head. You have to say the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it was a memorable Saturday Night Live skit that has lived now for better than 2 decades. But, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be a Bears fan. It's cool to be a former Bear, even though their offense right now looks like a hot mess. I just know last time I think the Bears came to Nashville, didn't our fans drink the town dry? Didn't
that
they
is,
run out
they
of
did.
Beer?
That is
they
a
did.
Fact.
That was a fact. Yes, it was not an exaggeration.
Nope.
They literally ran out of beer.
That's what I call representing. Yeah.
They undershot the Bears fans that day, and it was a Bears victory. And boy, did they celebrate.
It was. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even remember if the team won. All I remember from the whole weekend was that Bears fans drank the city dry, which I've had 2 daughters go to Vanderbilt. I know that's a difficult task to drink that town dry.
Well, to make the connection, that was a Jay Cutler-led Bears team.
Yeah.
And
that's
the Bears at the time were really having a good year. And then Jay got hurt.
Yeah.
And the season went a little south, if I recall.
I'm embarrassed because you remember Bears history better than I do.
Well,
we had on,
it was a pretty memorable day.
That's true. On our show this week, we've actually half joked about, because of our quarterback issues, Mitch isn't going to be there to be a backup. Tyler Bray, nobody really knows much about him. And Nick Foles is standing behind a very bad and porous and beaten up offensive line. If we could just get Jay to come out and be the emergency quarterback, everyone was, you know, I think we put a poll question out. I think 70% of Bears fans wanted to see it, but we can't find Jay. Maybe you guys can.
Well,
he was at Mike Fisher's
charity event last week, so he is in town,
he's
I believe.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
He's
well,
here.
If you see him, tell him I say hello.
He's selling his big mansion, so I don't know exactly if he's still living in it or what. But
he also can make himself scarce, as we know.
Yes.
He can lay low.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. We used to host the Jay Cutler show back here in Chicago when he was around, and we became actually really good friends. Jay on the field, Jay off the field, totally different guys, but we loved both guys.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and by the way, we got a heads up. There was a Predators home game that Saturday night, and we walked into the arena, Tom, and went, Our downtown is completely filled with Bears jerseys. I think all of Chicago, or not all of Chicago, a lot of Chicago is on our city. I mean, they were everywhere. You couldn't miss a Bears fan walking around Saturday night before that game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll say this about all Chicago sports fans. They travel. and I know that there's going to be some in Nashville on Sunday that are making the trip. I know that there's regulation and there's only a certain number of people that can get into the building, but I know some folks that are heading that way.
As a former player, you're the perfect guy to ask, because this is what we've been batting around in the first hour. So we're gonna ask you to rank these three positions that are gonna be what we suspect are gonna be brand new. So yes, you're gonna point out some of the Bears' deficiencies and some of the problems they're facing coming to this game. Well, the Titans have their own deficiencies and problems as well, including cutting their long snapper this week. So Bo Brinkley, who's been there 8-plus years, and the only time we've ever talked about him, which is a good thing about a long snapper, is when he hit a hole-in-one on a golf course and won a barrel of Jack Daniels. So that's gone. That's a win. We suspect Brett Kern, the all-pro punter, is not going to play. And the holder, so with that being said, Kern is the holder as well. So rank toughest to easiest to replace, in your opinion, these three categories, long snapper, holder, and punter. Which one is the easiest to replace and which one's the toughest? And how's your order go?
Toughest is the long snapper.
Thank you.
Because you're struggling with punts and extra points. I would say next, then, honestly, with no disrespect to punters themselves, the holder has got to be, because it's a new snapper, the holder is even more important. And if your holder is a backup trying to put the ball down for your kicker from a substitute long snapper, I'd put him as the second most difficult. And we can all kick, right? I mean, you guys could go out there and punt a little bit. Couldn't you?
Well, we've done that in the past. We've done that as a bit on the show, yes.
So, I would say most difficult to replace is your long snapper, then your holder based on the circumstances that you just described, and then the punter. Look, punters are very important. I'm just joking, but that's the way I would go. Did I win a prize?
Interesting.
Did you guys agree with me?
I went long snapper as the toughest, and these guys did not agree with that. I said punter, then holder as the least. So interesting. So you think the holder is next after long snapper?
Yeah, because he's a backup, right? And he's trying to get the ball down for his kicker from a backup snapper. People don't understand how difficult it is to be as accurate as you need to be as a long snapper. I have a lot of respect for that. We had a guy here in town, Patrick Manley, who I think set the record for most games played by any Bears player in the history of this long-storied franchise, and he was fantastic. And you just take the element of disappointment out of the equation because you know the ball is going to get there on field goals, extra points, and punts. It's a really vital part of what you're doing on special teams for sure.
Tom, after we all sat there in disbelief this past Sunday going, did the Titans just really get smoked by the Bengals? What just happened? I decided to, okay, the Bears are up next. I'll play my Bill Belichick. I'll go Bill Belichick. I'll channel him and go on to the Bears. So I'm going to watch the Bears-Saints. It was on in this market. So I watched your all's game start to finish. It's no secret. The defense is spectacular. The offense leaves a lot to be desired. So with that being said, in your eyes, because you understand offense, what is their biggest problem? Because I look at their offensive line is makeshift. They can't run the ball. Nick Foles throws a lot of picks. But what concerns you the most about their offense?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the play? Your show's got three more hours, right? I mean, I don't have to leave the house until one. But look, it's everything. By the way, I'll take a step back and say I'm sure you all are very disappointed that your Titans team has lost two in a row, and definitely going to my hometown of Cincinnati and getting beaten by the Bengals team. That's a team that's improving week to week with a really good quarterback. So tough loss, yes, but there are going to be some other teams that lose to the Bengals throughout. I think you guys will be the most focused you've been in the last 6 weeks. Like, And I equate it to what the Bears faced on Monday night against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams got their asses kicked by the 49ers. They punched them in the mouth, and I think it was a wake-up call for them. And then the team that the Bears saw on that Monday night was a much more focused Rams team. Not telling you, you know, what your team's going to do. You have a better feel for them than I do, but I think your team's going to come out and be prepared. With regard to the Bears' offensive inefficiencies, it's everything, guys. I mean, the offensive line before the injuries was very, very bad. They don't create any space in the running game. They don't protect their quarterback very well. The coach is reluctant to actually commit to running the football to take pressure off the quarterback. At this point, a bad offensive line is now going to be without 60% of their week one starters. Again, they have not been willing to commit to running the football. They abandon it quickly, and that leaves an immobile quarterback in Nick Foles to run around back there and throw off his back foot and throw it up for grabs. And that's what we've seen. They've been inefficient everywhere. They're 29th in yards, they're 28th in points per game. Nick hasn't taken care of the football. There's no creativity to the game plan. I mean, look, I could go on forever, and this isn't a rut either. Statistically, this Bears offense with this regime in charge over the last 31 games, they average less than 18 points per game on offense, and it's a crime because their defense is so good. And you mentioned you watched this Bears defense this past Sunday against the Saints. That wasn't even one of their better performances. They're capable of much better. So here in town, we're depressed because we do have a defense that we all feel is being wasted by this offense that just can't get on track.
I thought Matt Nagy was supposed to be the offensive mind. I thought he was supposed to be the offensive guru.
Yes, that's how he was advertised. He was supposed to come to town and revolutionize the offense. And you know, early on, he was working with a quarterback he didn't pick. Ryan Pace, the general manager, is the one that decided that Mitchell Trubisky would have been a better choice, not only at number three in the 2017 draft, but why don't we trade some picks and move up to two and take him instead of Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes? That hasn't worked out real well. It wasn't Matt's choice at quarterback, but I am more than a little bit surprised that he hasn't been able to develop Mitch more. I don't think he's been willing to kind of build the offense around the things that Mitch has done well. And he's wanted to implement this offense. And I think what we have found over the course of the last two-plus years is you can't run the Kansas City offense without the Kansas City personnel, and we don't have Kansas City personnel. I look at you guys, and I look at a team that used first-round picks on their offensive tackles. You know, if you can't run the ball and protect a dependent quarterback, you're in trouble. And I love what Tannehill's doing right now, and I think he's in a perfect situation, and he's well-coached, and he's playing great. Statistically, he's been as good as Mahomes over the last 18 games. But your team is built right on offense. Ours isn't.
We're talking to Tom Waddle, former Chicago Bear, sports talk show host, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, a great station up there. Tom, you just laid it all out. As much of the worry list you have for the Chicago Bears offense, which has been a big theme of your show, I can tell.
Yeah.
In Nashville, the same thing has been going on, talking about the Titans' defense. So you have that matchup. And then, as you said, an excellent Bears defense against a really good Titans offense. So let's start with the matchup of trying to stop Derrick Henry. What is that a strength of the Bears defense? Can they slow him down?
I think of the things they do, it's not. It's probably the thing they do least impressively is stop the run. They get after the quarterback. They cover well. They jump routes. They create some havoc. They're solid, don't get me wrong, against the run. But if I was the Titans, it's exactly what I would do. I would take my running game. I'd load it up, and I'd run the ball right at the Bears' top pass rushers. I mean, the one thing that you can do to help try and nullify pass rushers is run the ball at them and make them play the run as well as the pass. So I think you'll have your hands full with this Bears front seven with Akeem Hicks. He's a monster inside, and Khalil, who's battled some injuries, but he's dynamic, and Robert Quinn's still trying to get going. Roquan Smith's been very good. Danny Trevathan in the middle is a veteran. I don't think you guys will run for 225 yards, but last week I believe the Saints ran for 125. So I think if there is an Achilles heel of this defense, it is their inability to stop the run for four quarters. But, I mean, you'll go through a few series, and they'll get you three and out. But yeah, I think if I was, you know, I'm not telling any secrets or breaking any news. I mean, you guys are going to run the football and try to establish it, and that's exactly what I would do if I was Tennessee.
I'm curious. You mentioned Khalil Mack, dynamic player. There's not as many football trades that you really sink your teeth into and say, man, what a huge trade. But a couple years later, how do you feel about that? It seems like both teams could make an argument that they like what they got.
They want it. Yeah, I think if you ask the Raiders, they'll tell you. I think Josh Jacobs was one of their picks that came from that trade. There was another one. I think they can claim that they did just fine with that trade. And it's an interesting question. It's a great question because it's been a topic of conversation for us repeatedly. I think it was the right trade. But the trade is kind of complicated because the trade meant that Mitchell Trubisky had to hit. And by that I mean you had moved up in the draft and you had drafted Mitch with the second overall pick. To get Khalil, you drafted two first-round picks and then you signed him to an extension, which took away some of your salary cap flexibility. You gave up your draft currency. So now what it did was it pigeonholed this team, and Mitch had to be the quarterback because there was no escape hatch. You couldn't get out of the quarterback quandary by drafting another one because you didn't have any first-round picks. You couldn't get out of the quarterback quandary through free agency because you didn't have the cash because you gave it to Khalil. So at the time, we didn't know then what we know now about Mitch, and that he's a very or more limited quarterback than we thought. But once you made the trade for Khalil Mack, you found yourself in quarterback hell if Mitch wasn't the guy.
Tom Waddle is with us, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, former Bears wide receiver. And I know we're talking a lot about the Bears defense, but just how much of an impact have you seen Chuck Pagano make, not only on that defensive unit, but, you know, Matt Nagy's still a young coach. He's still learning, you know, his role as the head coach, and Chuck Pagano's obviously done it previously with the Colts. So how big of an impact has he made?
Yeah, I think they love having Chuck around. Chuck's defense is a little different than the defense that they saw in Matt's first year with Vic Fangio. That relationship, I mean, Matt had never been a part of being a head coach or had any impact on a defense, so that dynamic was really simple. Matt took care of the offense and basically, I think, for 17 weeks, never walked into a defensive meeting room, not because he wasn't interested, but because he had such total faith and trust in what Vic was doing. And they had an epic 2018 season on defense. When Vic got the opportunity to be the head coach of the Broncos, I think it was the right move to bring Chuck in. Chuck's style's a little bit different, but I think the point you're making is a good one because Matt can focus on the offense. Now, we giggle about that here in Chicago because we would like for him to focus less on this offense because he hasn't done anything for it. But you're right. The defense is kind of self-sufficient with Chuck in charge. So, yeah, I mean, I think Matt's done a really nice job hiring defensive coordinators, first with Fangio and now with Chuck Pagano.
So what is your philosophy on, and something you just said, you know, whether it's Nagy having to focus on the offense and being the head coach, obviously here in Nashville, that's something that we've experienced this season with Dean Pease retiring as the defensive coordinator. Vrabel is essentially the head coach and the DC with the outside linebackers coach, you know, helping with some of that. But that's been a big discussion on our show of, okay, does he need a defensive coordinator? Is he trying to do too much? So What is your philosophy on that as a head coach trying to not only run the entire team but then run one side of the ball?
Very few people can do it. Like San Francisco does it with Kyle Shanahan. I don't think there's any better play caller and game planner offensively in the league than Kyle Shanahan, and he's the coach. McVay does it. I think Shanny does it better than McVay, but McVay does it. Outside of that, you know, most guys kind of delegate. I mean, even Andy Reid has turned over play calling duties to Eric Bieniemy. Mike Tomlin is a great coach in this league, and I don't think Mike really calls the defenses. I think he relies on his coaches. I think there are the examples of where that worked are few and far between. And right now, I was not an advocate. Again, they brought Matt in here to revolutionize this offense, and we were hoping he'd bring some of the magic from Kansas City here. I was an advocate when the season began, but Matt continued to call plays. At this point, they're 5-3. I'm thrilled with their record. I'm disgusted with their offense. I would hope that he would turn over play calling duties to somebody else and see if it helps. Bill Lazor's done it before. John DeFilippo's done it before. Maybe, Matt, take a step back and look at things, you know, more as an executive or somebody who's managing people. It's not working here in Chicago, I guess, is the best way to answer your question. It may work in a few other places, but here in Chicago, I don't believe it's in the best interest of this team to have Matt Nagy being the guy calling plays and the head coach. I wish he'd give up the play-calling duties and just be the coach, because he's created a really nice culture in this town, and you can't argue with his record. You just can't be thrilled with what they've done on offense.
Well, very good stuff. Tom Waddle, ESPN 1000, former Bears receiver. Hey, we'll save you a beer for the next time you're in Nashville.
Yeah, you'll be out, man. If my people come to town, you won't have any. You won't have any beer left.
We'll try and hide some, but I know that's okay. Tough to
stock
do.
Stock up. Yeah. Store it in your fridge before they come.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Tom Waddle, again, does afternoons ESPN 1000 there in Chicago, and also former Bears wide receiver. There's much more to discuss. We have a poll question at 1025 The Game on Twitter. We put that up asking you what you think is the biggest concern on special teams. We took the kicker out of it, and right now it's neck and neck between the punter and the long snapper. 45% say punter, 43% say long snapper, 12% say the holder. So go vote on that at 1025 The Game. D-Mac, give us a word. Oh, it's me. And so I should give us a word about, good job, about BetMGM. There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 moneyline wager on the Volunteers. And if they score a touchdown, you win. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. If you're ready to start betting with confidence like I have, because I have had a lot of fun doing this in the past week, you can turn big plays into paydays. Sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Volunteers to score a touchdown. It is simply that easy, and the app is so easy to use as well. Just search for it in your app store. It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.